Welcome back, Cracked fans, to another edition of the Cracked Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. To help prepare all of you listeners for the NCAA Round of 16 and home stretch of the 2021 college tennis season, what we're attempting to do here at Cracked Rackets is speak with each of the remaining 32 head coaches of the NCAA Division I event. That means 16 men's coaches, 16 women's coaches all over the next few days on this Cracked Interviews podcast. Now, without further ado, let's get to another one of our conversations with the many outstanding head coaches still alive in the 2021 NCAA tennis tournament. Who's your trusted source when it comes to your facility questions, concerns, and needs? Ours is Hartrue, the world's largest manufacturer of tennis court surfaces, equipment, and accessories for over 90 years. Partner with their trusted team of experts, along with collegiate greats Jamie Loeb, Alex Rybakov, and Dustin Taylor, to bring the service provider of over 30 professional events annually to your facility. Whether it's the red clay of the Houston ATP, the green clay courts of the Charleston WTA, or the official hard court of World Team Tennis, Hartrue has you covered. If you're looking to build a court, convert a hard court to clay, or simply resurface your hard court, work together with Hartrue in their mission to lead the tennis industry by creating better places to play. To learn more about their state-of-the-art surfaces, along with their catalog customizable on-court accessories, check out Hartrue.com or call 877-442-7878 today. That's Hartrue.com or 877-442-7878 today. Joining us on the show once again today, head coach of the Florida men's tennis team, Coach Brian Shelton. Coach, welcome to the program. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it is always a pleasure to have you. And obviously, it's always fun to have this conversation when you've got a round of 16 coming up. Your team competing in the NCAA round of 16 in Orlando this next week. It was a 4-0 win over South Alabama, 4-1 win over South Florida that got you guys to the round of 16. How'd you feel about your opening weekend?
Felt great, you know, just nice to get the tournament started here at home, and we love playing at this place. I think our guys were really prepared and amped up. It was felt like a long wait between the finals of the SEC tournament and then starting out the first round against South Alabama. Really felt like coming in that we were going to have a tough opponent in South Alabama, and they really proved to be tough. I mean, I think they had to be one of the strongest number four seeds coming anywhere. A lot of veteran guys on that team, some heavy hitters, and they gave us all that we wanted. And then to win that match and then face South Florida, you know, these teams in Florida, they're used to the heat. So they didn't back down a bit. And you know, it was a tough contest, and just really proud that we stepped up in that match and played really well after losing a tough doubles point.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that doubles point, three new teams for you heading into the weekend. And, you know, that lineup change was one of the more notable ones, particularly when it comes from the number one overall seed in the event. You know, it's a two-part question. A, what led to the change? And B, what did you think about the new pairings?
Well, I felt like when we went to the SEC tournament this year, we were coming in and we'd worked a lot on our doubles and spent a lot of time with the guys individually as well as the teams going into that tournament, because we had a little bit of time between our match against South Carolina and the SEC event, so at Arkansas. And when we went there, we kind of came up short in the doubles three matches in a row. You saw it. We lost the doubles point against Mississippi State. They played really well. We lost doubles point against Texas A&M and then against Tennessee. And so, you know, our team is so battle tested, and we were able to kind of recover in singles as we usually do, because we're so deep. But But we left that tournament thinking we need to make a couple of adjustments and felt like we could do it with the personnel that we had. We needed to change up the chemistry just a little bit. We had one team that was trending really, really well in Sam and Ben. And the other two teams, we decided to make a change and to go with it. We felt, you know, the strength of our team has pretty much been in our singles play from 1 to 6. I mean, actually from 1 to 10, we're pretty tough. And felt like it was a good time to scramble it up a little bit. We had a couple of weeks to work with, and putting Joe and Duarte at the number one spot for us, two veteran guys, two doubles All-Americans that have been through the wars. That was kind of an easy fix for us because we know that they both understand the game so well and play really well, and those guys are like best friends. So that part was easy. And then putting that other team together, we've got Will Grant, who's played two and number one doubles for us the entire season. So he's seen the very best teams. He's beaten the number one team in the nation from Ole Miss with Joe. Very experienced. To have him in the lineup still is a huge bonus. And then Brian Berdusco coming in. I mean, this guy, he does everything well. He works hard, and to create an opportunity for him to come out there and play in the NCAA tournament is huge. Very well deserved. And he brings some firepower to our doubles lineup.
Mm-hmm. No, there's no denying that. You say 1 through 10. I would argue you and Tanner could line up in singles, and you guys would still be feeling pretty good about your team at that point. And, you know, again, you look at the singles numbers and just what you guys have put together this season, and 22-2 is a gaudy number. Congratulations to you and the guys, of course, Coach. But,
thank you.
You know, the number three singles flight, 16-7, that's the worst flight on the board for you guys. When you're winning 70% of your worst flight, something's probably going right for you in singles. And so, you know, again, we talked about the double. I think you did an excellent job right there explaining everything from the doubles point. But from a coaching perspective, I mean, that's what you and Tanner are focused on, right? Because that's the point, you know, as well as anyone, that doubles point can make all of the difference.
Yeah, it's a kind of a two-edged sword. You know, you understand that it's only one point, but you know that if you do have that point, with the lineup that we throw out there in singles, it's going to put a lot of pressure on anybody. And without that point, we've still managed to be very successful this year when we've lost it. So it is an important point, but you still got to focus in on the other six that you need. And so I think we've done a pretty good job of balancing how we prepare and what we do and the time and effort we put into both. And, but at the end of the day, you've got to win 4 points, you know, and so you got to find a way to get four to advance. And I think our team doesn't feel too much pressure from the doubles portion. You know, we feel like it's a huge point. I feel like if we can get that point, we put a lot of pressure on everybody. But if we don't, we still put a lot of pressure on you. So it's a little bit of a freebie for us. You know, we work on it and we put some time and energy into it, but we don't assume that we're going to get it. 6-game set, no ad scoring. That's hell with 18, 19, 20 year olds. I mean, a lot can happen in that six game set. So the ball tends to find weird spots on the court, as it did this past Sunday when we played South Florida. I mean, at number two doubles, it was like on every big point, we put a ball at their feet, and next thing you know, they're reflexing a ball at their shoe tops over our head, and we're scrambling back to throw up another lob. And so it just, it's the way that the ball bounces sometimes, you know, so you can't put all of your eggs in that basket for sure.
No, there's no denying that. And, you know, again, and I know one of these days, by the way, a coach is going to, I think it was Per Nilsson who actually said, you know what, we're fine skipping doubles. He was like, my Pepperdine team, we can go straight to singles. We know we're going down 1-0. We'll be okay. But everyone else would agree with you. But, you know, when you transition to singles, of course, probably helps to have a couple of undefeated players in dual matches. And I know the death for any coach is the complacency of saying, we're going up 2-0, we're getting 4, we're getting 6. But your team, Blaze Bicknell, 15-0 at the number four singles position. Josh Goodger, 12-0, excuse me, at the number six singles position. I'm not saying they're sure things, but even when both of those players were backs were pressed against the wall, even when the court had been rushed on Blaise Bicknell, he still ended up winning the match against Tennessee. And, you know, I'm just curious, what does that do for the team? What have you seen from those two when you get undefeated performances at two flights?
Well, I think it's huge. You know, I think that we don't focus on those two guys for sure, that they have to get the win for us, because like I said, I feel like we're confident in every spot. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you're having the success at number one singles, I think that that's huge. And we've got a guy that's just a beast up there. I mean, it doesn't matter who he goes up against. We know that he's going to be tough out. And same thing with Sam Riffis. I mean, we've got two guys that are all Americans that kind of lead us. They're our captains. They're kind of the guys that make sure that everybody's ready to go each match. And so that's huge. But Blaise and Josh have had tremendous years. And Josh, you know, wasn't in the lineup in the beginning of the season. He made some changes to how he prepares and how he does things. And he created an opportunity for himself. But we're deep, you know, and so we've got some other guys that haven't had as many opportunities, like a Lucas Greif that's come in. And when we've asked him to come in, he's come in and been successful. You know, the career that he's had here, and he's as solid as you come, you know, as you have. And so he came in this past weekend for us and did a phenomenal job. So we're pretty confident in all our spots and singles, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. No, I can understand why. Yeah, again, I think worst from a dual match perspective is Andy, who's 16-7. Like, right, that's over two thirds. You take that. I'm not great at math, but I think that's a good thing. But, you know, I am curious, just a quick note, and I know you're going to keep things close to the vest. Blaise healthy? He's feeling about as good as one can feel heading into Orlando?
Yeah, he's doing pretty well. You know, I'm not going to tip my hat on where we're at and what we're going to be doing this coming weekend, but certainly hope that everyone can be healthy and ready to go.
That's all we ask for. Well, then, some broader questions for you, because, of course, heading to Orlando, a familiar feeling for your team. You guys were semifinalists there in the last NCAA event we played in 2019. And, you know, it's so... Yeah, history echoes itself if you listen closely enough, and it's so interesting to see the parallels between your two teams. You know, I would argue 2019, you guys didn't have the indoors you wanted, but then you rip through an undefeated SEC conference season only to get tripped up in the conference tournament and build up that motivation again. Now, 22-2, you lost to Texas kickoff weekend, don't lose for 3 months. Same thing happens, you get tripped up 4-3 by Tennessee in the final.
Yeah.
Do you feel that at all, Coach?
Absolutely. You know, I think it was the best thing that could have happened to us losing to Tennessee again. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, if you keep winning, you sometimes can fall into a false sense of security. And by losing a match, it really opens everybody's eyes. And the amount of great practices that we've had since then, the focus, the understanding of what things we need to change and really lock in with, I think are really, really important. And we've had a great year, but we're very hungry. I mean, we've got a humble group, just a high character group, a group of guys that work extremely hard at it, coaches that are fully committed to what we're trying to do. I mean, Tanner and Scott Perlman, I mean, they're the best in the business. Helping our guys get ready every day, doing all the little things with video and the player development side of things. So we're in really good place right now, you know, and super, super excited about the opportunity to play Illinois in the next round, a team that we know really well and a team that knows us, and just really excited for the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that note, as you mentioned, number 16 seed Illinois, and everyone's talking about, well, are they underseeded? Did they get screwed in the draw? Let's look at the flip side. You guys have to face a team that's lost twice this season, and that, you know, prior to the Big Ten tournament, Kovacevic undefeated at 1, Zeke Clark undefeated at 4. They've got matchups up and down the board. Our listeners know it's a team I broadcasted their home matches all season long, so that's a team I know well. What's it going to take for your Gators to knock them off? Because that is not your typical round of 16, right?
No, I think it's a great matchup, you know, but I would argue to say that there's 8 great matchups in this 100%. Draw. I mean, you look at this draw, it's just like everyone's so good. And I feel like everyone can advance. I'm proud that the SEC's got 7 teams in there, if I've done my math right, you know. And we've worked so hard in our conference to be able to practice, to be able to play in the fall, to be able to play in the spring, to be able to do all the things that we've done this year that put us in a position to be successful. And, you know, I've got to hand it to our commissioner, our ADs, everybody involved in the process that gave us the opportunity to come out here and do what we do. But getting back to, you know, to Illinois, you know, just a great team, a great program. They do things, they work hard, they do things right, and they've been very successful, obviously, this year in the Big Ten. And that's perennially a very, very strong conference. So we know and we respect those guys. We respect the games that they have and the way that they compete, and they're gritty. They're a gritty bunch. But so are we. So it should make for a great match. We've had great matches with them in the past. Our guys are super, super motivated about the matchup. But like I said, there's so many good matchups in this next round. I mean, 16 really quality teams in this field still. And it's going to be interesting to see who continues to advance.
There's no denying that. And of course, I know how busy you guys are with preparation. I appreciate you taking the time. I just have one more question for you. Sure. I want to phrase it differently because I'm sure you've gotten it a million times this season. But, you know, I was always jealous. My mom, who's an OB-GYN, my grandpa was an anesthesiologist. She would always come home on the days they got to work together and say, oh, what a pleasure it was for me to get to work with my dad. And, you know, I remember, you know, I've worked in my mom's office. I've seen her in action. I got to once listen. My dad didn't realize I was paying attention, but it was recently. He was on a conference call for work, and I was like, oh, you're pretty smart. You're good at your job. And he goes, yeah, you know, I am, Alex. You think your life paid for itself? And I was like, no, that's a good point. And so my question is, because certainly coaching Ben, I'm sure, is quite the experience, but the flip side, getting him or having him get to see you do your job, do the thing that you do best, what has that experience been like? Because I feel like it's so rarely, you know, kids often view their parents as parents, not as humans. He gets to see you as a human being. I imagine that has to be fun.
Oh yeah, it's incredible. And it's something that I'll think about sometimes when I'm mid-sentence with the guys and I'm talking to them, and then I see him with his eyes right on me, and try to imagine what he's thinking at that moment. And you know, he's such a great kid. He just, he loves his family. He loves his team. He loves people. He's this kid that just loves life. And so it's a lot of fun to see him experience this whole team atmosphere, because he's just built for it. You know, he's a kid that grew up playing football and basketball and a little bit of baseball. And it wasn't until he was 11 or 12 that he really decided he wanted to start coming to practice with his sister and I and start playing tennis. And so he came to it kind of late. He always said, tennis is not going to be my sport, because I think he really valued the team aspect more. And as you know, junior tennis, a lot of times it's kind of, you know, dog eat dog, and you don't really have that team feel. And then for him to be a part of this team now, a team that he's watched over the years and supported from the fans. He's been our most vocal fan for the last probably 6 years. To have him now on the court and be a part of this thing and to feel that, it's pretty cool, you know? So I kind of look at him, sometimes I just smile inside, sometimes I'm upset inside when he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing out on the court, you know, when I don't see him serve volley or I don't see him do certain things he's supposed to be doing. It's like, hey, come on now, you know, but overall, it's just been a blessing to be out here with him and have him experience these things. And he's being able to do it a year early because he was able to finish high school 1 year early. So pretty special indeed.
Mm-hmm. No, there's no denying that. And I mean, Father's Day right around the corner. Obviously, that would be fun. It's after NCAAs, right? I think this shows you how well I know Father's Day. I say every day is a Father's Day. I celebrate you every day.
Why not?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it speaks to, if you don't mind me saying, the strength of your relationship. That is not an easy thing, the stress that coach and player puts on two people. And obviously, father-son is precedent to all of that. And so, again, it's been so fun to admire from afar. I can see the smile on your face every time he hits a winner. There is that extra glow, and that's what makes college tennis special, that family atmosphere, amplified that much more by your program. So coach, thank you so much for all you do for college tennis. Thank you for taking the time to chat. Obviously, hope you and the Gators get to Orlando safe and healthy, and look forward to seeing you all compete down there.
All right, really appreciate it, Alex. Thanks for what you do. You guys do a great job.
Of course, go Gators, right?
Go Gators.
Take care, coach.
Thank you.
Yep.